I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Welcome. So happy to be here with you. And what's new, folks? Where are you at? I just came back from a trip to Utah. I went to visit my clients who were kind enough to invite me to a semi-private experience of their workshop called Our Factoring. You can check it out. Brad and Casey Wallace deliver this. And it was a really incredible, I think, inside-altering experience. I'm super glad I went. It was also a really beautiful place to stay. And it was exciting because I got to take my dog, Shelby. She's 2.5 years old. She's a cockapoo. And I always dreamed I would have a dog, my very first dog, and travel with her. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I didn't know how she'd behave. She's so friendly. I wasn't sure if she was going to be over-friendly to people coming on the plane. But as it turned out, she was actually awesome. She trembled on the way, the flight there, which was a little concerning. But on the way back, she was already an expert. She just came into my arms, fell asleep, and frankly, she watched the plane take off. She watched it, the plane taxied as it went very quickly down the runway and then took flight. And she had her little face right outside the window just watching, and then, boop, she fell asleep. So it was awesome. And now I know I can travel with Shelby. Shelby can travel with me, and we could do a lot more things together and go a lot more places, because adventure is something I want today and in my future. So yeah, welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I was just featured as an icon of influence, and I'm also featured in the ultimate directory of podcasters. It's got 670 of the world's leading podcasters. And just a little reminder for those of you who are so awesome to post how much you love the show, or you write to me, you do contacts on my website, but also write me emails, and you reach out to me a lot of great ways. Please, if you're listening, if you tune in, if this show is meaningful to you, you need to support it. So subscribe to my podcast channel and also leave a review. It actually means something. Yes? Yes. A little bit later on, Mariko Hirakawa is here. She's a teacher of teachers, presenting at yoga festivals and conferences around the world. Mariko works with top business executives in NYC, using yoga as powerful peak performance and a personal development tool for the highest expression as leaders. She's a former professional ballet dancer, as well as an Ayurvedic physician trained in India. Mariko positions yoga far beyond fitness as the ultimate technology for human consciousness evolution. And Mariko will be on later on Dare to Dream. So my suggestion for you today, taking a deep breath and just choosing to be fully present right here, right now, is making lightness the new you. Making lightness the new you. The burdens we carry around with us often become solid, let's say. They become part of our attitudes, our habits, our beliefs. They really inform our behaviors. But let's be honest. We can choose that they're not permanent. Habits are the outcome of old decisions, and they can be changed, but only through new decisions, new choices. So choose those today. So in today's suggestion, understand that the most important decision any of us can make is to embrace the possibility of our true self. And when we let higher intelligence do the work much easier. And then getting rid of burdens is not a burden. So I offer you this thought mantra for today, which is, I find joy in my healing and recovery. It was Deborah Day who said, renewal requires opening yourself up to new ways of thinking and feeling. When we come back, Mariko is here to offer how to unfold your visionary life with yoga with a capital Y and open us up to new ways of thinking and feeling. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
How do you comfort a grieving child? It's not easy, but the book, My Mommy is a Butterfly, facilitates the process by introducing your child to the concept of signs from the afterlife. These signs will prove to your child that their loved one is still around them and still loves them. The heartwarming story encourages your child to focus on the power of love and how it transcends death. My Mommy is a Butterfly will uplift your child with hope and resiliency. Your child will become empowered to learn that death is not only an ending, but also the beginning of a relationship where love never dies. Written by Michelle Bieber, My Mommy is a Butterfly is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
You've had enough of seeking for your purpose. You are ready to start living it. Right now, you only need one answer. What realizing your life's purpose will look like? How exactly will you do that? You don't want to make another mistake, change careers, only to feel trapped and bored again. You want to absolutely know what your special gift is and who you are meant to serve with your gift. Great business ideas are just that. They are aligned with your true essence and make a profound difference in somebody else's life. Get your free Activate Your Life's Purpose call with Lyra Kay, an international best-selling author, quantum success business, life coach, and your creative genius activator. Lyra Kay will help you take the next step today so you can make an impact and realize your potential now. Book your call at shesgotpassion.com.
Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/debswinewonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/debswinewonders.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger, and I've got Mariko Hirakawa here. She's a best-selling author, internationally known yoga Ayurveda expert, and she's founder of Visionary Yoga. This is so cool. She's proficient in Hindi and Sanskrit, and Mariko is one of the very few in the West to complete the rigorous 5.5-year Bachelor of Ayurvedic Medicine and Surgery degree as a fellowship scholar at the top Ayurvedic University in India. If you would like to know more about her, her website is visionaryyoga.com. Mariko, welcome to Dare to Dream.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I am excited as well and interested in Unfold Your Visionary Life with Yoga with a capital Y. So I want to start first because what a background you have. Tell us about the work you do today so we fully understand it.
Yes, it's been an evolution. You know, I come from, you know, ballet or dance background. So I come at yoga with more of an artistic bent rather than more of a fitness side. But so I got inspired to just understand the roots of yoga when I met this incredible enlightened master and had received this initiation, which completely revolutionized my idea of what I am on this planet, if that makes sense. It was a complete, like, I literally saw the world as like this vibrating molecules. It's like we're living the dream of God, you know, and it just so blew my mind that I was like, what is this yoga thing, you know? And I had to discover its roots, and that's India. And I lived there for about 10 years, including that 5.5 year intensive period studying Ayurvedic medicine. It's like a full-on medical system there because it's a primary healthcare modality. One of the inspirations was also that I was, a lot of my clients were terminally ill with cancer, Alzheimer's, all kinds of very serious diseases. And I wanted to learn a modality that would help me serve my clients in a deeper way. And I felt, you know, Ayurveda, the holistic healing system of India, spoke the same language as yoga. And so that was my initial kind of stepping into this whole world of yoga, what I call yoga with the capital Y, that it's far beyond the poses and asanas that we see in the West. And we kind of exclusively call that yoga, the physical aspect. But so having lived there in India, and I got a lot of chances to spend time with enlightened masters and dive deeper into all the allied sciences that surround yoga, such as, of course, just the study of Sanskrit itself is a deep yogic study. It's the study of sound, you know, sound manifestation. Also, you know, Jyotish, the Vedic astrology is very closely allied with the original yoga. Also, Vastu, which is the Indian version of Feng Shui, it's actually the kind of the origin, the mother of Feng Shui, Geomancy, how you place, you know, how you position your house and how, you know, your environment, all of that affects the energy circulation. And so that's another allied science of yoga. And of course, Ayurveda is, and there's so many, you know, Indian classical music is an art and a science very closely linked to yoga as well, because it comes from the enlightened knowledge of the sages. And so all that kind of tapestry of I got to kind of spend time in that realm, for hang out in that realm for about 10 years, and I came back to bustling New York City and I started to teach in those gyms. And it was like how do I translate this experience, you know, to the super busy professionals living in New York City? And this is like felt like such a faraway world, you know. But I think we've come a long way. We still have a long way to go. But so in the beginning, I was just doing yoga and Ayurvedic consultations because I felt just, you know, opening the door to Ayurveda would open the door for people to understand yoga from a wider perspective, that yoga is not just about, you know, getting fit and flexible and all those things, but there is this whole other culture of yoga that is so much deeper because it comes from the awareness that everything is consciousness. And so that was wonderful. But so my previous work was called Ayurveda Yoga Practice. And I felt, though, as I was doing these Ayurvedic consultations, that a piece was missing, and that was purpose. I felt like I could give people the perfect diet, the perfect herbs, the perfect lifestyle. But if they didn't have a clear understanding of what their purpose and what their vision for their life was, an essential ingredient was missing. The unifying force was missing. You know, the reason you get up in the morning should be front and center. Mm-hmm. And so I started to lead these retreats that I call visionary yoga retreats. And in about a week long, you know, retreat in a beautiful setting like Costa Rica or Tuscany, just helping people kind of dial in what their destination is, you know, that big picture vision, so that we can reverse engineer pathway to get there. And yoga was a really perfect modality that is a perfect companion for this process, because you tap that infinite space during that shavasana or during the meditation. You're beyond your body. You're beyond your limited ego identity, and you're able to kind of download higher knowledge. And so that's the work I'm doing now. And I've also added the element of peak performance, because I've been serving a lot of executives and entrepreneurs, and peak performance is so, so important. And yoga is, I feel it's the peak performance modality for life. You know, not just business, but also how you live your life, how you show up in life, because more and more the boundary between life and work is blurring and disappearing. And for me, as a yogi that embraces yoga with a capital Y, I feel all the boundaries should just disappear, and we just should live life as one. And that is because there is no compartments, really. It's we're the same person underneath all those compartments, and the way we show up really impacts every dimension of our life. And that visionary aspect really helps people step up in their work, in their business, in how they show up in their relationships as well.
And Mariko, you were originally a professional ballet dancer in New York City. So what happened that changed your path from pro ballet dancer to yoga instead?
Yeah, that's a kind of my origin story. But, well, you know, I've been dancing since I was a little kid. As I got serious, at about age 19, I was in a professional company, and I was living every day, finishing the day with applause. But I thought I was living my dream, and I was living my dream from my past. But then I started to feel, you know, lack of fulfillment, just questioning, you know, what is the purpose of my life? Is it really for these few seconds of applause that I'm living my life? Because as a dancer, you know, you spend like 8 hours a day toiling, sweating, bleeding. And I felt there has to be something more deeper and more meaningful. And I also longed, I think, to express myself verbally, because as a dancer, everything is physical. And as I kind of grappled with this question of what is my purpose, I actually went through dark night of the soul. I felt so lost, you know. It just became a haunt. It haunted me. And so one day I was quite depressed, because I was feeling like, okay, you know, dance is such a short career. What am I going to do, you know, beyond this? While I love dance, I felt there was more to life. And that day I just kind of played hooky from my daily ballet class, and I stumbled upon a yoga studio. And that little studio that I've been walking past for years, probably, I just happened to see it that day. And that studio happened to be run by the disciples of this great master. And that yoga class kind of changed my life, because at the very end, you know, in Shavasana, I experienced my body as a body of light. I experienced all the subtle layers that is transposed over my physical body. And I literally experienced my body shimmering and pulsating and scintillating in a way I never experienced before. And when I asked the teacher what's going on, and I was having this flashing electric blue light in the center of my forehead, and I thought I was tripping on some drug or something. But I asked the teacher, and she pointed to the altar, and she said, "Oh, it must be her energy." And I was like a little bit taken aback, and I said, "What do you mean?" You know? And so she explained that this great master had the ability to awaken your Kundalini energy, which I didn't know what it was at the time. But so she recommended I meet her in person. And I said, "Meet her? Where is she?" She happened to live 2 hours outside of New York City in the Catskills. And so I said, "Oh my God, I have to meet this, you know, being." And so I just got on a shuttle, and I made my way to the Catskills. I kind of register myself for 10 days in this ashram without knowing what this whole thing was. And that very day, it was July 4th, 1991, I had the great fortune of like meeting her in person, which later on I discovered she doesn't come out very often, and it was a very rare event. And when she came face to face, and she was standing like a foot in front of me, she was about my size, very petite, like maybe 5'2" or 5'3". But her aura, her energy field was this mammoth Himalayan kind of mountain of silence. And she stared right into my eyes with so much compassion and love. And she just uttered the words, you know, "Did you just arrive?" So you just arrived like that. And it was truly a coming home for me. I experienced really like this bursting open. You know, tears were coming out of my eyes, and I kind of completely lost myself in that moment. And I felt that question was meant, had so many layers, you know. You finally arrived, you know, after seeking so many places, and, you know, through all this, you know, through dance, through academics, through relationships, through food, through sex, through so many ways, you know, I had sought fulfillment, completion, and finally, you know, so you finally arrived after seeking so many avenues. And those 10 days were like fire for me staying there. It was like one limited concept after another about what yoga is, what spirituality is, who I am.
Let me ask you that question. So when you're saying what yoga is, then Mariko, what about myths? Are there myths? Are there misconceptions about yoga?
Absolutely. So before I experienced this, you know, I also thought yoga was just a series of poses, which we call asanas. This, you know, from gentle to rigorous, there's a variety of physical styles that we call yoga, but it's actually a misnomer. That is Hatha yoga, one branch, or actually one sub-branch of the many branches of yoga that are there in the classical yoga. And so it's really a misnomer to just call the physical practice yoga. We should really call it Hatha yoga or physical yoga, because yoga with a capital Y implies there's at least four branches. There's different schools of thought on this, but there's the Raja yoga, the yoga of meditation, which mantra yoga is a part of. There's Bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion, of which chanting and devotional service, you know, devotional practices are part of. There's Karma yoga, the yoga of selfless action. And there is Jnana yoga, the yoga of the intellect, refining your intellect. And it's a series of self-inquiries. And Hatha yoga is a sub-branch of Raja yoga, which is the yoga of meditation. And originally, Hatha yoga was developed so that the sages could sit for longer periods and, you know, prolong their meditation practice so that they could attain enlightenment. And that is the practice that became blown up in the West, because it's the most obvious and it's the most accessible form of yoga. But having, you know, taught this for the past 27 years or so, I really feel there are many, many steps missing in presenting the physical yoga as the complete path. It is not a complete path, and there's so many other things to learn in order to truly attain the goal of yoga, which is enlightenment, liberation, right? Self-actualization. So I believe, you know, that needs to be corrected, because if we continue to just call the physical practice of yoga, we just kind of squeeze yoga into this tiny little exercise modality, and yoga is just so much more than that. It is the oldest personal development system on the planet, complete transformational practice.
And we're about to head for break here, but I want to ask you very quickly, with everything you just said, is there a future for yoga in the West that is going to combine what it was intended to be for enlightenment? Where do you think we're headed?
I absolutely think so. I mean, there was a renaissance in the 1920s and 40s when these enlightened beings came. And today also, there are all these great yogis and beings walking, roaming the planet, uplifting people's consciousness. And so I think right now is a great time of awakening, and many people are hungry to take it to the next level. So I absolutely believe that.
Fantastic. Okay, that's good news for us. We're about to head for a break, as I said, and you're going to want to stay with us because when we come back, Mariko is going to be talking about what is Dharma and how her approach to yoga is so different and what that entails, and maybe how you can use yoga to manifest the life of your dreams. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. Stay there. We will be right back.
What is LinkedIn and why should you be on it? Wondering what in the world people use LinkedIn for? You will be surprised how much is available on this popular business social network. Go to www.yourconnectionconsultant.com. Did you know that 64% of all social media traffic to websites is driven by LinkedIn? Rhonda Scher, known as the LinkedIn Diva, will explain how to double your business using LinkedIn. Don't be left out. Learn how to leverage LinkedIn today. Rhonda Scher, the LinkedIn expert, is your connection consultant at www.yourconnectionconsultant.com.
Are you suffering from headaches, backaches, joint or muscle pain that's hurting your work performance? Todd Nelson is a naturopath who for 36 years has helped employees, executives, and entrepreneurs alleviate the chronic pain that kills their work performance, naturally, without depending on dangerous medications. In Todd's new report, No Pain Equals More Gain, he shares six major steps you can take today to start reducing pain and increasing performance. You can get this free report right now by going to nopainmoregain.net. That's nopainmoregain.net. Stop letting pain get in the way of your peak performance at work. Learn how to start working and living pain-free naturally right now at nopainmoregain.net.
You've had enough of seeking for your purpose. You are ready to start living it. Right now, you only need one answer. What realizing your life's purpose will look like. How exactly will you do that? You don't want to make another mistake, change careers, only to feel trapped and bored again. You want to absolutely know what your special gift is and who you are meant to serve with your gift. Great business ideas are just that. They are aligned with your true essence and make a profound difference in somebody else's life. Get your free Activate Your Life's Purpose call with Lyra Kay, an international best-selling author, quantum success business, life coach, and your creative genius activator. Lyra Kay will help you take the next step today so you can make an impact and realize your potential now. Book your call at shesgotpassion.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
If we're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast. I'm interviewing Mariko Hirakawa at visionaryyoga.com. Here's my curiosity, Mariko. I know you mentioned in the beginning that you work a lot with top-level executives, and some of the companies you work with is Verizon Wireless, who I'm with, no plug there, Capital One, who I'm also with, by the way, and Credit Suisse, to name a few corporations. Do you also work with individuals, and just in general, share your reach and if you've had a specific success story with what you do?
Yes, right now, actually, that's my main work is working with individuals. And it's been a joy really connecting yoga with the coaching that I do because it really provides for a space to unpack all the insights and principles that I don't have the time to address in the physical yoga session. And there's this synergy between the physical yoga we do and the coaching that builds its own momentum. So one of the wins I really had recently is this gentleman that I've been working with very intensively. He came from, you know, a drug rehab. When I met him, he was living in a halfway house. He was formerly very successful in Goldman Sachs, in very high position. Unfortunately, due to entanglement with drugs, he had just lost control of his life. And the intensive work we did with yoga, this was just a miracle to witness how yoga not just detoxified his body, but rewired his entire being so that he no longer needed to rely on the drugs. He could actually create those endorphins in oneself, and creating that destination, crystal clear destination. And through the physical practice of yoga, I believe we were able to really program his cells, almost cellular programming for success and overcoming all his self-sabotaging tendencies. It's building self-belief, self-esteem, and really seeing each day as a divine gift. And also we work together to optimize his routine through Ayurvedic medicine and taking herbs and optimizing his diet. He was a particular body type that tended to gain weight. So we really focused on what foods would be right for his type and the ideal daily schedule to follow as far as diet is concerned. And that really helped me to create that daily regular stabilizing element that kept on creating this upward spiral, you know, of becoming more healthy and having more energy and having more belief in himself. So I'm so proud of him too. Now he has his own home and living in Florida and just, you know, pursuing his love of music, and it's a whole new life for him. So that's one of my greatest pride, is to help people unleash their full potential.
Pretty exciting. That's really nice turnaround story. And I have something very interesting. When I was researching you, your website, there's a video of you and Sri Sri. So I studied at his Los Angeles school, Small World.
Yes.
So I am so amazed to see you on stage with him. What is your connection to Sri Sri Ravi Shankar?
Yes, he was the reason I made my very first trip as an adult, because I was taken to India as a child. But as an adult, he was my inspiration to make the leap to go to India. My first trip was about 6 weeks long. And I had an intention to study with Ayurvedic doctors for a month. And when I met Sri Sri, it was in New York City at St. Peter's Church. And since my whole journey into yoga started through meeting an incredible enlightened master, when I saw this flyer that said something like study with a mystic or commune with a mystic, I was like, okay, I'm there. And when I saw him, he literally like hopped on the stage. He carried himself so lightly and did not take himself so seriously, because I think we in the spiritual realm, especially yoga, I think we take ourselves really seriously sometimes. And it was so delightful to see a being who kind of disarmed you with his goofiness, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. He has this almost goofy charm that disarms you. And then this, when you laugh, you know, this unfolding takes place, all your defenses go down, and you're just back with your heart, with your essential self. And so my first trip to India was to go study this healing breath technique. Back in those days, that's what they called it, and now we know it as the Sudarshana Kriya, this amazing breathing technique that truly opens up the cellular intelligence. And so I spent a week with him in his Bangalore ashram. This was 1999.
Wow.
Not giving away my age. And back then it was he was still not the huge following that he is now. I mean, now he is the informal guru to Prime Minister Modi of India, and has a worldwide following of something like 350 million or 400 million people. But back then it was a much smaller group. And at the end of that week-long advanced course, I had my own agenda, and I had 10 days gap between his course and this Ayurvedic training, and I had my own agenda mapped out, all the places I wanted to go. But during the last meditation of that course, I got this call, inner call, to, I kept hearing the words, come with me, come with me. And I was like, what? Come with me? Like, I was like, where, you know? And when, you know, because I knew that they were asking around the ashram for foreigners who wanted to join him on his next leg of the tour or something. And I was like, I don't want to do groups. I'm such an independent person. I was just like, I'm sticking to my plan. But when I got this inner call and I was like, really? You want me to come with you on this tour? And I was just... And the meditation ended just like that. And when I opened my eyes, he was standing right, literally right in front of me with a big smile. He blinked and like nodded his head. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to go. So about 26 foreigners, we loaded onto this dilapidated school bus. And it was the bumpiest ride, but we went from Bangalore to all the way down to the southern tip of India, which is called Kanyakumari. And it was I could not have asked for a more exciting insider's view of spiritual India, because we went to these rural ashrams that are not on the map, and we got served this incredible South Indian meals on banana leaves and met these enlightened beings who are not public. And we got to sit on the stage with Sri Sri, and it was just an amazing journey into, and also I also got to see him kind of backstage, how he is as he's in the car, when he rides the plane, when, you know, in his personal moments, how an enlightened being carries himself. And that was just priceless. I saw that, you know, he, to his most closest disciples, he gave them fire. It was like so firm, and because he knew that those are the guys he's training to become masters, you know. But to the general public, he was as soft as butter, and just so much love, you know. And to us, the foreign group, he would be in the middle of this darshan, hugging like 10,000 people on the stage. People were lining up. And in the middle of that, he would just whisper to his assistant saying, I think those foreigners need to go to the bathroom, so show them where it is or something. Yeah, just the thoughtfulness in the middle of this, you know, and there's 1,000 things happening, right? And just that kind of attention. He never forgot a person's name. It was just so amazing to see a master in action. And at the very end of that, we got to fly on the tiny little plane with Sri Sri. And I will never forget going through the security check. And, you know, he has only his cotton shawl and his dhoti, this all cotton white clothing. And the security bell, he would let off the alarm. And so the guard was like, what do you have, you know? And he would sheepishly kind of shrug his shoulders and said, I forgot to pull in my aura, you know? So he had to walk through that security, you know, and he finally made it through. And it was just like, wow, you know, that was just, I'll never forget that. And his energy field is just so, you know, vast that... he actually let off the alarm. So that's the connection.
I can well imagine. Beautiful. What an honor. And I love hearing the behind the scenes of how he operates and how he influenced you and so many others. I was introduced to him because I contacted a dear friend of mine, Deborah Poneman, and said, okay, I can't take it. I really need to meditate and I have no clue how to start. And she said, great. I have a connection with Sri Sri. She's very connected with him and said, let me make an introduction to the school. Let's send you there and get meditation started for you. And then subsequently, because of her connection with him, every time he came to LA, and still to this day, she'll say, come on, don't tell anybody, even though we're on radio, maybe thousands are hearing us, but she does get me front row seats and I get to experience him I think you could experience him anywhere, frankly, in the whole building. But it's so packed when he comes that they often have to cut off the audience and send the rest of the people underneath to just hear him on the speakers. They can't even be in the auditorium, so to speak, because it's so filled to capacity. So I'm very, very honored to be in the front row and get to just soak in all that he is and all that he shares and the beauty of that experience. So kudos to you. That's a beautiful place to come and be from.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel he's sharing the message that, you know, that power is in all of us. So I think it's and he makes it look so effortless. It's his gift.
Mm. Well, when we come back, we will be getting to Dharma. We will talk about it. What does that mean anyway? And how does it relate? Subscribe to Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. You can find us in so many outlets, obviously here at BBSR, including iTunes, Spreaker, YouTube, about 22 more spaces and places. Subscribe and leave a review. You count. You encourage. We will be back very soon. Just stay there, and we'll talk to you in a minute.
Do you love wine? Do you enjoy drinking it or sharing it? Well, maybe you know a lot about wine, maybe you don't. Thanks for entrusting me with picking and choosing the most amazing wines from all over the world and delivering them to your home or business. You will receive as few or as many bottles of wine as you like, with tasting notes in your magical box of wine, detailing the regions, the history, and even food and wine pairing. We will deliver to you the best wine in the world. So get in, get wine, get social at directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Sit back and truly enjoy our wines, because we take great pride. We have invested a great deal of time selecting the most incredible wines from all over the world we know you'll enjoy and want to share. At directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Yum.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world, and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour, and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a bar session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
tuning in after we've started. This is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast. I'm interviewing Mariko Hirakawa, who's a nationally recognized wellness specialist and an expert on yoga and Ayurveda. So I want to start, Mariko, with the question, what is Dharma? What is it? What is Dharma? We hear that word bandied about. And how does Dharma even relate to creating a visionary life, what you work on?
That's a beautiful and profound question, Debbie. And so there are several levels to that word. So on the universal level, Dharma means the order of things. And specifically, most of the time, in most contexts, we mean how do we fit into this universal order of things and playing our role. There's another word, though, that is more specific, and that is Swadharma, S-V-A Dharma. And Sva always means self. So what is your specific Dharma? And that's really what I focus on with my visionary yoga work. And so defining your Swadharma is not so easy. It was a whole, just the question, what is my purpose? Took me on this journey into yoga, and I'm so, so grateful. So I encourage everyone to be patient and just work, you know, just keep that question front and center and dig
into
it. Can
you give an example by sharing when you say Swadharma, the self-order of things? For you personally, what have you discovered your Swadharma is?
For me, I believe it's really in taking the, well, let's see, it for me right now, it's in helping people manifest their vision and come from that place of possibility, rather stepping beyond the conditioning of the past and of where they have been and where they are. For me, this is my Swadharma in my work of visionary yoga. And I bring my knowledge of yoga and Ayurveda and everything I learned through my journey on self-development to the plate to serve that purpose, because that's what I align with, right? So it's yoga, Ayurveda, and the purpose. And I think it's really something to grapple with and ask your higher self. And it's we all have, you know, everything we had in our past makes us who we are. And so there is a unique blend of things. So I take people through this process of crafting their, you know, purpose statement during my retreats, because I think there's, just like, you know, companies have mission statements, it's so powerful to have a personal purpose statement. And that is one way to touch that Swadharma. For me, it's really using this physical medium of the body and the spirit to help people go beyond their limitations, beyond their conditioning, to live that visionary life, manifest their dreams, and step beyond the comfort zone. And that is my Swadharma. For others, it's, you know, I see, and we're living in really interesting times, because I think most of us are living more than one life. You know, it used to be that you have one career, and now it seems like most of us have multiple careers. And each time we go through that kind of reincarnation of a career, we take from that past work so much that we don't even know we'll be so useful in the next work. So I draw so much.
1,000%. Well, right? Why do I resonate with that? Yes. I mean, it really is like architecture. Something you did before is very informative and is a skill that you absolutely needed moving forward. And sometimes you take a couple of careers and skills and wisdom and talents, and then they get married together to the next incarnation, as you said. And it is very powerful what you're able to give to people and how you serve them. You come at this with a giant arsenal and a lot of tools and a lot of wisdom.
Absolutely. So it's so nice to know that nothing is ever wasted. There's no wasted effort, right?
And absolutely.
Well, we're shifting it and presenting in a new way. So when I draw on my dance background, it's a whole new way of tapping into those things I learned and framing it in a whole new way. And so there's a unique gift that each person brings with all their history of experiences and skill sets and knowledge base. So I think it's even more complex, the Swadharma, now than it was, say, 100 years ago, because people used to just have, do one thing. And now, as entrepreneurs especially, we're asked to do many things. But so it is a real inquiry to come up with what is that Swadharma. And I encourage everyone to just take a moment to contemplate that. What is your purpose statement? And it may, I encourage everyone to embrace it for maybe at least 90 days, that purpose statement, and see if it really will focus you and help you make the decisions that we need to make. Because sometimes we tend to say yes to everything. And I found definitely that saying no to many things helps me create the space for the one thing or two things that are really, really important to me, and make massive momentum towards that.
I'm curious what you are going to say yes to next in regards to your Svadharma, because this is Dare to Dream. So, Mariko, what are you next Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals that you want to achieve?
For me, the next step is to take that book on a tour. And I have this dream of an event that I want to do, because I've been going to some yoga conferences, and I noticed that it's like a marketplace for all these different types of physical yoga, but there's no real one event where you're taken through a linear path to really take your yoga from the mat into life, into your business, and the rest of the things that matter to you. And I want to create an event that creates that bridge for people. And on the side, I have this passion project called the Visionary Yoga Rave, which is it's the dancer in me and I'm going to collaborate with visionary videographers and sound collage artists to create this experience of yoga that's kind of out of the box. It's going to be a movement meditation with wall-to-ceiling video projections of pilgrimage sites and the elements of nature. And we're going to kind of, as a collective whole, go through this journey of pilgrimage to your inner self through movement meditation, yoga inspired. It's not going to be a yoga class. It's going to be definitely structured movement meditation that's going to kind of end up in this let your hair down kind of a rave. And that's going to be the opening event for my my 3-day event. So that's my big next out of the comfort zone dream that I'm working to create. And it's something that, I want to invite everybody to come. I'm planning to have it in the West Coast. So even though I live in the East Coast, I felt spirit kind of guide me towards that side of the world to host this. And my musicians are on that side of the world too. So super, super excited for that.
Great. And that's how people can work with you, is it going to be on your website?
Yes, I am working to create that whole, I'll have a website for that very shortly. Yeah. I want everybody to come out and join the party.
That's awesome. So here you're born in Japan. Your parents took you to India as a 9-month-old. And while living there, you explored Nepal, Afghanistan, Northern India. And then they brought you to the US at age 9, where you pursued ballet and started winning awards. Very global life. And then you pursued this traveling and seeking as an adult. So just here at the end, how has being global, Mariko, since you were born, set you up for life? What has that influence been for you?
That's a beautiful question. Thank you. It's I feel yoga is a universal system, and that's probably why I feel so drawn to it. I feel also I was so drawn to places like New York because it's so multicultural and the reference point is so wide. And having lived in India for 10 years, I do feel I'm a citizen of the globe. I feel we are, first of all, spirit having human experiences. And even though the cultures and those, the religions we grew up around, they all play a role definitely in shaping who we are. And we should definitely honor that, because it makes us uniquely who we are. But there is also that transcendent dimension of us. And I feel for me that yoga is a return to our essence as pure spirit and consciousness, to go beyond all those things so that we can actually enjoy those things even more without being bound by them. We can enjoy those traditions without feeling bound by them. We can enjoy them and for the unique cultural, you know, flavors that they offer. And I think that's why I always will come back to places like New York, where I can feel people are open-minded towards these things.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Mariko Hirakawa, so much for being with us today on Dare to Dream.
My pleasure, Devi. So great to talk to you.
And again, she's at visionaryyoga.com. And I end today's show with this quote from Deepak Chopra. Ayurveda is the science of life, and it has a very basic, simple kind of approach, which is that we are part of the universe, and the universe is intelligent, and the human body is part of the cosmic body, and the human mind is part of the cosmic mind, and the atom and the universe are exactly the same thing, but with different form. And the more we are in touch with this deeper reality from where everything comes, the more we will be able to heal ourselves and at the same time heal our planet. Next up on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast, who's going to be on the show? I can't wait. Sharon Lynn Wyeth from Namology. Yep, she's a forensic at your name. She can tell you about someone you're dating and whether it's going to work out, what the pluses or the challenges are. And she says, know the name, know the person, how a name can predict thoughts, feelings, and actions. So you can call in about a boss, a partner, a family member, a friend, or a loved one and get a name reading. Put that on your calendar. Subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. And if you would like to contribute a chapter to a brand new anthology book about to be published, we're taking first-time authors and authors who've been around before. Go to debbyd.net/anthology, and that's D-E-B-B-I, remember, no E, debbyd.net/anthology. Thank you so much for joining me today on Dare to Dream. The secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbydashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbydashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbydashinger.com. That's www.debbydashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. Easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible.